I'm so excited to be here with you all. Thank you so much for being here, ready to hear God's word. A special thanks to made all of this possible and work so diligent. We appreciate you all. Thank you so much. Great worship too. So let's just see here. My name is Susan. I'm from Calvary Chapel, the West Campus, as well as the East Campus. I'm part of the New Believers team. And with that New Believers team, some of us go out on the second Saturday and do exactly what Robert was sharing with us, go out and spread the word. So we go down to 4th Avenue, second Saturday. If anyone wants to join us, it's on the website. And we go out there and talk to people and share the gospel and pray with people. It's great. So I'm also part of the Women's Bible Study team, and we're going to start up pretty soon here, August 26th, I believe it is. And we have Women's Bible Studies, and we're going to be studying the book of Hebrews, and we're excited about that. So you're welcome to join us for that. Okay, so now I'll go with our message here. The theme of our retreat, I don't think I prayed, huh? So let's pray. Father, thank you for these women that are here, Lord Jesus. They're so precious, Lord Jesus. You died for us all, Father. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word, Lord Jesus, and help this be a transformative retreat, Father God, where we love you more and more every day and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so the theme of our retreat is a call to courage, Esther. As we study together, let us reflect upon what is courage, what is a call. So right now, what we're going to do something in the teaching world, and it's called pair share. And so what we're just going to do is just turn to the person next to you or a group of you and just share just for a couple of minutes. What do you think courage is? What do you think the call is? So I'll call you back in a couple of minutes. So go ahead and just share. See what you think, okay? Okay, wrap up your last thought. And let's come back now. Okay? So hopefully you had some good conversations going on there, talking about courage and the call. And we're back. Great, thank you. Okay, so let's see here. In this first session, we're going to be studying Esther 1 and 2. We will see the events that led up to Esther's courage, call, purpose, and how these events weave a story of divine redemption and demonstrate divine providence. Important word, ladies, keep that one in mind. God's working to save Israel from genocide, annihilation, complete destruction. Let us consider through our study how we too can follow the example of Esther, courage, following the call, risking all for such a time as this. What will we do? Exciting. How will we live for Him each and every day, making a difference in our own corner of the world? It is interesting to note that the book of Esther has the unique distinction of having no mention of God. Interesting, huh? But as we read on, we will see his divine footprints everywhere. I'm going to put my phone here. As you all are familiar, much turmoil, strife, and world unrest are all around us. Many of you as well have faced difficult times, right? It is our hope that through our study, your faith is renewed, knowing and trusting God to be with you in every trial and situation you might find yourself in. Romans 8:28 shares, all things work together to good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, right? Notice the word called and purpose and all. In gotquestions.org, providence is described as the governance of God by which he with wisdom and love cares for and directs all things in the universe. We will see in our study God's purpose carefully orchestrated for the people of Israel, providence, how one ordinary woman became extraordinary and changed the destiny of her people. The times we are living in now can be most challenging, but nevertheless, the call remains. It is important to know in our study that the genealogy of Esther and Mordecai, descendants of the Benjamites, is from which our Savior comes. We will later meet Haman, remember the cookies last night? Haman cookies, who is an Agagite, the enemy of Mordecai and the Jewish people. He was a descendant of the Amalekites, longtime enemies of the Jewish people. So, remember as we study Esther, look for God at work. We in Abiding Women have utilized the inductive Bible study method, looking for characters, setting, repeated words to help us navigate through our studies. So as we study Esther 1 and 2, look for those elements and finally the application. How will I use what I learned to apply these truths to my own life? Before we read, let's share some background info from the Bible Project. I believe we talked about this last night as well. The book of Esther is set over 100 years after the Babylonian exile of the Israelites from their land. While some Jews did return to Jerusalem, many did not. The book of Esther is about a Jewish community living in Susa, the capital city of the ancient Persian Empire. The Persian Empire ruled the world before the wall of Jerusalem was built. The book of Esther demonstrates God's love for his people, even when they are in a foreign land, far away from the land of their inheritance. We too can rest in God's love for us individually, personally, no matter where we are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16, lavish love. So our main characters are in Esther 1. Whoops, I dropped something here. I think I'm okay here. Ahasuerus, don't you like to say that? Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus. And that's a title. His name is really King Xerxes. So we have Queen Vashti, whose name means beautiful. We have the seven eunuchs who commanded Vashti to appear before the king. We have wise men who had access to the king's presence, advisors. And then our setting now is in Shushan, the citadel or palace, also known as Susa. And I believe Tyler has a picture of that for us. So we're gonna look up at the screen. Isn't that cool? That is an actual archaeological site and in Shushan, in Iran, where Esther take place. The walls that you can see in the image above were built on top of the ancient foundation in modern times to help visitors see the original layout. So we have the courtyard of the garden, we have the courtyard of the house of the women, the second courtyard, the inner courtyard, the throne room, and the king's gate. Exciting, isn't that? That's for real cool. Thanks, Tyler. Okay, so the time is 486 to 465 BC. And so here's our main events. Number one, anybody here like parties? So King Xerxes makes feasts for all his officials, servants, powers of Persia and Media, the nobles, and the princes of the provinces being before him, 180 days of feasts for his officials and servants. That's a long party, huh? And then 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan. And the lavishness of these feasts was described in our study. They had white and blue linen curtains, marble pillars, gold couches, individual drinking vessels. No paper plates for this party, huh? But was this lavishness for the purpose of service or to pridefully show power and wealth? The purposes of these feasts were to display the riches of King Xerxes' glorious kingdom and to enlist others to join him in a military plan to conquer Greece. Queen Vashti, whose name means beautiful, also holds a feast for the women in the royal palace. That's okay, right? Am I okay? Okay. After the king is married with wine, he commands the seven eunuchs to bring forth Vashti. Here's where the trouble starts. Before the king and the guests in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials. Well, guess what? She refuses, and the king becomes furious and angry, so she refuses to do what she's asked to do here. Scripture speaks of anger in James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The king seeks worldly counsel from those closest to him, rather than God. Scripture shares in Psalms 1:1-2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So King Xerxes' motivation as a king is self, his own glory, while our King of Kings came to serve. Matthew 20:26 states, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, to give his life as a ransom for many. There's concern, though, over how the queen's refusal will affect other women. So she's deposed and banished. No more the queen. So now we have a 3-year gap, so now we're going to Esther 2. And looking again through the lens of inductive Bible study, we meet again King Ahasuerus, King Xerxes, and we're now introduced to Mordecai, the cousin of Esther. Mordecai means little man and is a certain Jew, son of Kish, a Benjamite, the genealogy from which our Savior comes. Very, very important. Esther, Mordecai's uncle's daughter, who was an orphan, we're introduced to her, and it says in 2:7, and Mordecai brought up Hadassah, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. This kindness, devotion, and self-sacrifice revealed the character of Mordecai. Recently, at a downtown outreach on 4th Avenue, our team had the privilege of meeting someone who shared with us the sadness of being an orphan, but all the while throughout their life, seeing God's intervention and provision in their life. What a blessing to see faith lived out even in a difficult life beginning, and that was right there on 4th Avenue. That was so cool. So Esther's Persian name is Aster. It comes from the Greek meaning star. Esther indeed brought light to darkness, and through her courage, faithfulness, and obedience, changes destinies for her people, the Jewish nation, and for all future generations, us, who have and will receive salvation through Jesus. Because of her courage, we too live and breathe through the light and life of Christ within us. So Esther's Jewish name is Hadassah, which means myrtle. So myrtle is an evergreen shrub with fragrant leaves, a common perennial shrub with evergreen leaves with white star-shaped flowers. Myrtle trees grow slowly, and the struggle or stress during the growth of the tree causes the patterns and its unique figurations. And we have a picture of one just to show you. So that's the myrtle. You've probably heard of people who are named Myrtle. It is said that as we persevere in our Christian walk, we too, like the myrtle, will blossom into beauty as we trust God. And even in the hard times, when it seems as though he is silent, we trust him, remembering who he is. He's a good, good father. So let's see. Haggai, we meet Haggai, the king's eunuch, who gives Esther favor and special event treatments. So here's the events in chapter 2. After the king's wrath subsided, advisors share, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king. Thus we have a beauty pageant to find a new queen for King Xerxes." So the king appoints officers to gather all the beautiful women in all the provinces to Shushan, in the custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch, to be given beauty preparations. But have you ever thought about what is beauty? Scripture shares in Psalms 139:14, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are all beautiful, ladies." 1 Peter 3:4 shares, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." So Esther's taken to the king's palace into the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women. Now the young woman, Esther, pleased him, Haggai, here she's gotten favor here, and she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations to her, besides her allowance, 7 choice maidservants to the best place in the house of the women. Mordecai paces every day in front of the court of the women's quarters to learn of Esther's welfare, demonstrating devotion and God's providential care for Esther as well. So each woman received 12 months of beauty treatment preparations. The first 6 months were for purification, implying purification, cleansing precedes beauty. 6 months of oil of myrrh. Have you heard of myrrh before? In the Bible, myrrh was used as an anointing oil. It represents themes of sacrifice, suffering, holiness, and royalty. The oil is crushed and was given to Jesus at his burial. In Matthew 2:11, we see the gift of the Magi presented to Jesus. After coming into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In Mark 15:22-23, it shares, "Then they brought him," speaking of Jesus, "to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it." And then in John 19:38-40, it states, "They brought him to the," I read that one already. Okay, so now it's Esther's turn to meet the king. She requested nothing to take with her from the women's quarters, but what Haggai advised. Again, we see Esther's submission to authority. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." So Esther obtained favor in sight of all who saw her. Here we see God's providence. There's that word providence, an important word for our study. From Job 10:12, it shares, "You gave me life and showed me kindness, and in your providence watched over my spirit." Esther's taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, Tebeth, 7th year of king's reign. And then we're going to go over here to Queen, Okay. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor again in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown, just like you have a crown there at your table, upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Queen Esther. Now we have that, this shift where the story states. Esther, an ordinary young woman, becomes extraordinary, who through courage follows her call, purpose, and rescues her people for such a time as this. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we too become royalty, adopted children of God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So now the king makes a great feast, the Feast of Esther, which is still celebrated to this day. Mordecai sat within the king's gate, implying a promotion or appointment received, and the king's gate was a place of authority and decision-making. Esther had not revealed her people, just as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther obeyed the command of Mordecai. While at the king's gate, we have some drama now, Mordecai heard an assassination plot by two of the king's eunuchs, Bithan and Teresh, doorkeepers who became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Mordecai reveals the matter to Esther, and she's now queen. So Esther informs the king in Mordecai's name. Inquiries made into the matter, and it was confirmed, and both were hanged on gallows. And now, most importantly, as you will see later, it was written in the book of the Chronicles. Very important to remember that. Written in the book of the Chronicles. And so now we end the key events of Esther 1 and 2. And we behold the fingerprints of God everywhere, his majestic hand weaving together a wonderful story of deliverance for his people and shining forth the beauty and light of his faithful work and covenant promises. Think about his providence. Can you think about some events that are providential? Queen Vashti refuses to appear at the banquet. Queen Vashti deposed and another sought to take her place. Hadassah's divine appointment, and Esther is chosen queen out of 400 candidates. That's according to Josephus, Jewish historian, 400 candidates. Wow. So Mordecai's employed promotion, which allows him to overhear an assassination plot, and it's written into the Chronicles. Esther receiving favor from Haggai, the king's eunuchs, given special treatments, special servants, and the best place in the house. Esther, a Jewish orphan, is raised by her cousin. Her Jewish identity is revealed, and the king chooses Esther. As we see, behind the scenes, God is always, always working in the story of Esther to fulfill his purposes. And we can trust the same for our own lives, the same. Now, as we near the end of Esther 1 and 2, let us return to our beginning thought. What is the call to courage? Our call primarily is to accept the invitation, to accept salvation and follow God. When God the Father reaches out to us, we respond to that call and become part of God's family. Our specific call refers to an individual's unique purpose or vocation, such as being called to ministry or a particular mission. We have some biblical examples. Moses, called by God from the burning bush to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Paul, experienced a dramatic call on the road to Damascus, leading to his mission to spread the gospel in Acts. Jesus called his disciples in Matthew 4:19 when he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow the call, ladies. And how will we follow this call? Fellowship with our Father, abide in him, devotion to his word, and finally surrender to his purpose. We are soldiers, rest assured. This journey is glorious as we follow his call, but be prepared for the battle. Speaking of soldiers, what now is courage? Courage is described as mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. But as children of God, our Heavenly Father so loves us and is continually weaving our stories despite the hardship or even times of seeming silence. We can trust him and know that the providential hand of God will carry us through our life. Courage embedded with faith equips us to grow in our faith and catapults us toward that great purpose God has for us, a mission for sure. Perhaps now is the time to be aware of what can keep us from that call and be ready to respond and snuff out that would keep us from our purpose. For sure, fear being one, but we all know perfect love casts out fear. The more time we spend in prayer and the word, faith rules over fear. I love this song. No longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. Beautifully shares the heartfelt cry of a son or daughter who comes to know the love of the Father. Beautiful. Recently, I had the opportunity to be invited to a home-cooked dinner by a former high school classmate who, along with his wife, served as missionaries in India and Thailand for many years. Well, I hung on their every word as they shared stories along with feasting on an Indian meal of chicken curry, chana masala, dal, papad, gulab jamun for dessert. Not sure if I'm saying those right. Yum, so good. Well, my classmate shared a story that when he was in high school and taking driver's training class, he always remembered the words of his teacher while taking practicum driver's lessons. The lesson was, don't look at the wall. And Tyler has a picture of this wall in Bisbee, nothing fancy, but it's a wall in Bisbee as you go around towards the pit. And the pit is the picture on the right, and that's a big hole, and you don't want to fall in that either, so. So I love that, don't look at the wall. So what he said, that this lesson he always remembered to apply in his Christian walk. He said, as we look at the wall and focus on our problems and the struggles we're going through, we lose our way. As Hebrews shares, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, we focus on the Lord and remain close to him who loves us. So don't look at the wall, ladies, or fall in the pit. Another story he shared was that as he was trying to board a bus in India, he allowed a pastor to board ahead of him, and then others. Before he knew it, there was no room for him hardly to ride in the bus. Suddenly, he found himself near the entry of the bus, almost hanging outside with little room left for himself. He reflected upon how us, in our Christian lives, sometimes we too can leave little room for the Lord in our lives. We crowd him out, right? We get busy, and before you know it, our bus is full of the clutter of our daily lives with little room for Jesus. May we, in contrast, be saturated in his word, cherish time spent with him, and be ready for the call to courage. Now, my classmate is no longer in India or Thailand, but is now serving family and community in the very town he grew up in. The call remains. Each one of us are called to the mission field right here where we are ready to serve. And now as we conclude Esther 1 and 2, let us invite those who have not yet committed their life fully to the Lord, who died on the cross for us an opportunity to do so. He is waiting. And for all who now know the Lord, yet might feel the tug on your heart to renew and deepen that relationship, He is waiting. If you would like to share this decision with someone, we have leaders, prayer counselors, table leaders available for you. And scripture says, now is the time of salvation. Now. So thank you, ladies. You're beautiful. Thanks.